time is something that he does ask us to do. We never really, well, I never really considered it as well. And you know what that word is? Don't know nothing tomorrow. What'd you say, Brother Anderson?
Emptiness.
Emptiness. Just nothing. Let's read Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 through 11, right, Sister Lynn? Yeah. We own it. He says in verse number 3, he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, not considered robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory. Prison, surrounded by all of the palace guard and all those people that have heard him speak, are also influenced by him. But he's speaking this letter to the church at Philippi, and he's writing to these Christians so that they'll focus on one thing, that's their manner of life, their relationships one to another, their relationships to God as they live their lives to try and do what? Progress the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we will live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, then one of the key characteristics of that is unity. We talked about that last week. We got to be on the same page. We got to have harmony among Christians if that's going to happen. In Philippians 2, 1 through 2, he kind of begs and pleads that if Christ means anything to your life, if Christ means anything to you at all, anybody ever told you, if I mean anything to you at all, anybody ever told you that, Brother Banks? Ever told, if I mean anything to you at all, Sister Banks, this is what I need you to do, right? If Christ means anything to us at all, he says, then we have to be of the same mind. What else he said? Have the same love, right? And be in full agreement. We have to have the same way of thinking. If Christ means anything to you and your relationship to God as we progress forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, so how do you do that? How in the world you do those things? You know, a lot, your mom used to tell you a lot of things of what you had to do, or your dad what you had to do, but they never told you how to do it. Remember that? Sometimes they didn't tell you how to do it. You just do it, right? You get it done. But how can we do that? How can we have that? How can we have the same love and the same mind and the same way of thinking? How can we do that? It's the question that Paul is asking now to the Philippian church. How can we do that?
You have to understand who Christ is.
Indeed. But he tells you right there. Look, he starts off in verse number 3. Yeah, look what he says in verse number 3. and it is like, I need you to sit up and pay attention to what I'm telling you, because this is what has to happen if we are going to be people with the same mind of Christ. You know what it says? Verse number 3. Somebody read verse number 3 for me. What does it say in verse number 3?
Let nothing be done for selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself.
Now, you know how that starts out? I looked this scripture particular because that word nothing, like I said, was just, man, I was enamored by that word. I'm like, okay, he's telling us to do nothing. God's telling us to do absolutely nothing right here, right? But when you look it up in the Greek, the word do isn't there. It's not there. You know how he starts it out? Nothing. That's how he starts it out. Absolutely nothing. Nothing out of self-ambition, right? Nothing out of what? Of anything that you want, nothing from self-ambition or anything that pushes yourself forward. He didn't say you do nothing. He just says nothing. We're not going to have nothing when it comes to that. You ever told your kids that too? We're not having that. We're not having that in this house. Absolutely nothing. And that's what he's saying. If we're going to have unity and propel the gospel of Christ, and have the same mind, the same love, and be of the same unity, same thinking, nothing is what we need to give to God. Nothing of our own selfish. You see that? Because it doesn't promote unity. Doesn't promote the same thinking, right? I says, man, wow, that's incredible. Nothing. Nothing that pushes yourself forward. Because if you do, then that activity is a self-serving and a self-seeking advantage of only personal gain. So you don't have the body in mind at all. It's just only about you. And how can you progress the gospel by yourself? Relationships, remember? Is what's going to push it forward. Our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, people are going to come in, they're going to see that we love one another and that God is among us, and they're going to want some of what you got. So he says, nothing. Nothing that pushes yourself forward. Because those things sow discord and division when there's self-ambition around. Because everybody wants to be the what? The head honcho. Everybody, you don't want to get in line. And be the line leader, right? And he says absolutely nothing, because you're going to destroy unity when you push yourself forward. That's what's going to happen. And then he says nothing out of selfish ambition, or what's the next word? What does that mean? What in the world is that? Is it? Anybody ever been full of themselves in here? And you know what it is as well? It's pushing yourself forward so you can get the glory. You get all, look, I'm right here. This is me. We're going to get this done. We're going to get this done, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to get the glory for it. He says nothing when it comes to conceit. Nothing. Nothing when it comes to selfish ambition. Because it's not you that should enjoy the success or the glory. Why should you look for personal glory and acclaim when it's about us? So why should you push yourself forward so that you can have that glory when it's about God? Why should you push yourself forward and have that glory or that success, people looking at you, if it's all about a relationship with each other? It'll never happen. It'll never happen. Because what happens when you push self-ambition and conceit forward, it brings out that P word. Here it comes. And everybody knows that. But does anybody actually approach that person that's full of pride? Man, it just, their volume, their behavior, all their actions are pushing you back away from them. But somebody got to get to them. Because as we say, they might have fell and bumped their head. They're just going off the deep end. Huh? We got to get this thing together. We got to get this ship righted, right? Because everybody's got their eyes on that one person because he's blowing the trumpet the loudest. He wants the glory. And he wants to have the success in knowing that, you know what? It's about me today. Not about the group. Michael Jordan said, there's no I in team, right? Because his coach was telling him, he says, listen, you're doing too much. You trying to do it all by yourself. He says, nah, that's not what I'm doing. He says, I'm getting the other teammates involved, and if you look around, you see that that's what's happening, and we're going to win as a result of that. He said, but I have to be the catalyst to get everybody involved because there is no I in, never will be, never will be. So nothing is the word when it comes to conceit, right? Now, when you're self-centered, what does that mean? Sister Lynn fixed to hit me up. Well, I see. Come on, tell me what that is. Tell me what. Yeah. Self-centeredness, you know, when you become self-centered, you want that credit and praise. Because they want some of that as well. They want some of it. I want to be involved with him because he's getting the glory, and I want to say, you know what, I know him. You ever got that? Oh, I know who that. Yeah, me and him, well, yeah, we golf together. We go ride bicycles. We exit. No. Do you know God? Because if you knew God, then self-centeredness would be far away from your mind. You know one of the biggest things that I find, and I wrote this down on my little notes right here, And I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about me as well. We have an idol that we just can't seem to get rid of. And that's the idol of self. It's a huge, enormous idol. And it can easily be ignored, right? We just let ourselves just walk right by the wayside, not really checking up on ourselves as we stand next to God's word and stand next to the Christ. Easily ignore it. You know what? Who in here thinks that when they received the portion of whatever it was they have, that wasn't enough and they would do more? Nobody ever gets enough, right? The grave is never satisfied, never gets enough, right? So listen, I was due more and I didn't get any more. I didn't receive the things that I thought I was worthy of, that I thought that was worthy of, right? I don't have the honor in getting the things that I think I should have. Remember that word we started off at the beginning? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Nothing. Who could be satisfied with nothing? There is to be nothing in our lives, this note says, from that kind of thinking. Because we act like people owe us something all the time, don't we? No, we do. And we act like we don't ever owe God anything. Self-centeredness. Everybody owes me something. And if I don't get it, the squeaky wheel always gets the what? Huh? Yeah. We're going to oil you up. It's going to be wet all over, but everybody's going to be slipping. Yeah, because of that one person who feels like, you know what, I never have received what I deserve. Right? Well, what is it that you deserve? Is that word again? Is that word again? Right? And you can't earn anything when it comes to God because he says it is a gift. Didn't he say that? You don't earn it. It's a gift. So my relationship with you, your relationship with me, my relationship with God, your relationship with God ought to be on the same plane. We ought to have the same love, the same thinking, the same mind. Paul says, you just do nothing. for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the way that you live your life. You do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Some of the Bible say vain conceit.
Vain glory.
Yeah, and what you think about that? Vain glory. Because glory you're receiving, it ain't worth a nickel, right? It's going to come to you at this point in time, and it's going to fade, and you're going to say, I wonder what happened to her. Goes out of your mind. But for that particular point in time, they got it going on, right? And we want to be a part of it. All of us going down the same road, slipping on that oil, on that grease, because we want to be a part of that. It has nothing to do with advancing the furtherance of the gospel. It becomes about us. And when it becomes about us, then that's when the problem kicks in right there. Somebody got to come clean the dust up. Somebody got to look you in the face and tell you the truth. And who's brave enough to do that? Ask me, I'm going to tell you. Or I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to be black and white, but I'm going to tell you. Because it might come, right? Everybody has to have somebody in their lives to tell them the truth about what they're doing or not doing in their lives. And that somebody that's in our lives that's doing that is the Holy Spirit of God. Do we listen to that? Or do we listen to ourselves about how we think it ought to be done? Or how this person isn't doing it the way it ought to be done? One more time. That word is what? Yeah, yeah. I want you to remember nothing. Remember nothing, right? He says in verse number 3 that we ought to be humble, right? Exact opposite of self-ambition and conceit. Somebody's going to walk along and they're going to tell you this, you know what, I'm just so full of humility. Well, if you say that means you have none. You have no humility at all. You know what I mean? Walk down the middle of the aisle, got a big old placard across your chest with your name. I'm a Christian. Okay. All right. Nothing but humility. Right? It's the way you live that tells people who you are. It's the way you live that tells people whose you are. It's the way that you live that allows us to have that humility when we come and face the true and the living God. Right? We put our own self-concern aside. When it comes to humility, it has nothing to do with us at all. We put ourselves on the side. You know what he says? And we look at ourselves and we count. Here's that word. We count other people what? What'd you say? Who better than me? I'm going to count you. I'm going to count you better than me. Right? What'd you say, Sister Kyle? I missed that one. What you got? There it is. But look, that's the platform that we live on. I mean, who's better than you? But he says, I want you to count on putting other people before yourself. And that's one of the hardest things to do, right? It's hard. Not always. Tell me when it's not hard. Tell me when it's not hard. You know, I agree with you. I'm gonna tell you when it's not hard. Because the natural thing is to not put nobody else ahead of yourself. That's why you're saying to do it. I'm gonna tell you when it's not hard. When you got your children in front of you and you gotta do for them. You put your children before you all the time. Man, let me tell you, since my wife is pulling it out. Look. I said, look, D. I said, you think I can have this? Man, when we first got married, that girl used to cook all that stuff for me. You hear me? And them children came, whatever they wanted. I couldn't have nothing I wanted anymore. I said, what happened to putting?
That's different, though.
Here we go. Help me out. But she used to make it for him before the nasty stuff. Right? Here's the thing. God says that we should put other people before ourselves, and the hardest thing to do is that, Sister Butler. Why? Because we're so centered on ourselves and how we ought to serve God and how we ought to love our neighbor and how we do it the way we want to do it. Because my love for you might not be structured the way that your love for me is structured. And it has to be the exact same way according to Paul. That's what he's telling the Philippian church. If your love for me is not structured the way that it ought to be when it comes to the mind of Christ and furthering the gospel, then where is that relationship at? How can we move forward together, you know, if we just got a facade going on right here? We just playing with each other's feelings and pretending we have a relationship when we have none at all, right? Let me tell you something. If you speak to everybody on an everyday basis, just a casual basis, just passing by them, that's a relationship. Don't you know that? But this is not the type of relationship that Paul is talking to the Philippian church about. He's saying, listen, our relationship ought to be rooted in Christ. That ought to bring us all together. And we ought to think the same things, love the same way, and do the same things to further the gospel of Christ with the way that we live. That's what he's saying. And he's encouraging them to do that. Not that they weren't doing it in the beginning, but it's written for us too, right? To continue to do that. I mean, think about your measure of love for God, your measure of love for me, your measure of love for your family. Everybody says, oh, that love is different.
Yeah, they come with maturity and being a Christian too.
Indeed. And that's why he's saying, you keep pushing.
They come with a lot of maturity.
Yeah. So how you going to get there? How you going to get there?
Reading God's word.
By having the same mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The same love.
Yeah.
Right? Correct.
You just cannot do that because you don't know what I need. You don't know, but even though we have the mind of Christ, our goal is Christ. You don't know where I am in my prayer life. You don't know where I am in my walk with Christ. But if you spend some time with me, you will know, and that's the relationship. But we avoid sometimes of that. You know, like you said, we're in passing and we sing hello, but we're in passing and we think that that's a relationship, but it's really not a relationship. And we grow those by being together, by talking with one another.
Let me spin it for you. Those same ones we don't have a relationship with or refuse to have a relationship with, should we consider them highly in ourselves as well? What about them?
I think that people just don't.
He says consider everybody. So even the ones that you don't think deserve to be considered highly than yourself, he says, I need you to get there. You with me? You should get there. Because they got some people, we Christians, we just can't stand them. Right? He said, regard them highly as well. If you want to have the mind of Christ, listen, you don't think when the people are spitting on Christ and beating him and crucifying him, listen, what did he say? Isaiah said, he didn't say not one word. And here we come. I'm not going to consider you higher than me. I can't stand you. Right, Sister Banks? I can't stand what you do. Wait, you done did this to my friend. I'm not going to. Did he do it to you? Didn't do it to you. No matter what goes on, Paul says that we have to have the humility in our lives to be able to put people above ourselves. To be able to put ourselves and our concerns on the side. And instead of looking at ourselves, is that word, we count others more significant than ourselves. We do that. We consider them. We value them. We think about them. We esteem them. And they become more significant and more important than me. And who could that be in this room? Who could be more important than me? What am I going to do? You're not going to do nothing for me. What am I doing for you? Well, you're not. Paul said, that ain't the mind. That's not it. Because we're a unit, right? It's about the gospel.
I think what happens is that people forget that we're here to learn from one another. So when that no longer is a thing, that's where the separation happens. Where there's
and me being younger, because even though we live in the same world, we have lived and grown up in two totally different eras. And so while the church is still the same, there's so much that can be learned from one another to incorporate and to glean and to reel in other people as well, because the old doesn't always translate to the new, and the new doesn't always translate to the old. But when you come together and there's a middle,
is that relationship.
And that's what I think a lot of times is missing, where we forget that we can learn from each other and we can share. Because at the end of the day, once you become grown, shucks, it's all the same. Bills, children, marriage, like there's, you know what I'm saying? And then ever coming is death. That's like, that's really it. That's it. And so there's not much difference once you become a grown-up. So for me, it's why are we not learning from one another? Because like you said, no one is higher than the other, but we can. And a lot of times we're just not. And that's where the relationship splits apart.
And you know what? It splits apart because we fail to have humility and brings us together. I mean, whether that person deserves it or not, you know, Paul says, listen, you just got to regard them higher than yourself. Whether they should be considered or not, we've got to regard them higher than ourselves. That didn't just start happening today, right? It was happening in Paul's day as well. That's why he's saying it. But you know, when people practice humility today, the first thing that someone comes along and tells them is that you're just too weak. They look at humility as a weakness, right? I'm going to tell you who's not full of humility. Not one politician out there got no humility. And why do I say that? Because they're pressing the issue about themselves, right? I'm better than this person. This person isn't better than me because this person lies, but I'm not lying, but I really am lying right now telling you that did.
They forget they're public servants.
And at the same time, now, sis, that's good. We forget when we don't have humility that we are servants of God. Right? We forget that. Paul says don't forget.
Pushing your own agenda.
Right. Look what he says in verses 5 through 8. You're talking about Jesus now, right? Mm-hmm. And if we want to be a part of Jesus and do what Jesus did, he says, listen, we got to have the same thinking Jesus had, right? Look at the work that Christ did, right? Look at the work that he did. Some people take this out of context. They really do, these words right here, because this paragraph has often been turned into an argument about the humanity and deity of Jesus Christ. You hear people talk about that all the time. But the context of the discussion is the fact that there's no argument here at all as far as that theological content is concerned about the humanity and deity of Jesus Christ, because we know that's for a fact. But what Paul is doing here, he's saying that the things that Jesus did is an example for us to have the same way of thinking. That's the way I see that. Because he gave up everything in heaven to come here. He considered us, you with me now? More than himself. If we're going to be followers of Christ, that's what we got to do. We got to consider somebody else. That he gave it, listen, heaven? Kicked back, got his sandals on the sofa with the remote. And he says, you think I'm going down there in hell? I'm going down, I ain't going down on earth. And he came anyway, right? He came for each and every one of us because he considered us, right? More highly than he considered. Can you imagine that? God considered us more highly than he considered himself. That's what Paul is saying right here. Think about that. God considered us. And he came as a human, which is humiliating at best for God, right? Think about it. He came as a man. And he says that he gave up the shame and the humiliation to come and be for us, Emmanuel. Boy, that's something, huh? Who want to be around people that you just He just don't have no regard for. Matter of fact, you disregard them all the time. Paul says you can't disregard anybody. You got to be around them because the gospel is important. We've got to get out the gospel. The way we live and behave and the way our relationships intermingle with one another makes a big difference in how the world is going to respond and how the congregation around you, the people around you, are going to respond to your life as a Christian, as a servant of God, right? Because we're called to serve, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to serve, came to serve. I mean, think about the heights that he came from. If somebody's way up here, you think that they want to communicate with somebody that's not? Think about the workforce. Think about it. They sit up here and they do absolutely nothing, and everybody down here is doing all the work, and they're getting all the, this person getting the praise, but they getting the people down there getting what? Jesus wasn't like that. He didn't do that. He didn't have to come. He didn't have to come at all. And he is only worthy of great honor. He's the one that's worthy of worship. And he did not even accept any of that. Any of that. He didn't. You know, it would have been good if Jesus would have said, you know what, I'm just going to go on and I'm going to exercise my own selfish ambition, exercise my advantage as God, and I'm not going to sacrifice myself. And if it would have been good if he would have did that, then where would we be? Remember verse 3? What was that word in verse 3? Yeah. Nothing from self-ambition, nothing from conceit or personal advantage. The point is that not even Christ was above sacrificing himself. And Paul is saying, listen, continue the sacrifice that the gospel might be advanced. Nothing out of self-ambition, nothing out of conceit, nothing in humility. Look to the interests of others. In humility, you look to the interests of somebody else. When the last time you did that? I grew up in a town where, let me tell you, it was wonderful. Boy, go across that street and get some sugar for me from Miss Florence. Right? Miss Florence was happy to give you that sugar, right? And it wasn't a tit for tat thing, because if Miss Florence didn't have something, guess what? Yes. It was considering, right? I mean, one time, because you know, everybody had a porch, then you had to come through the screen door, walk on the porch, go through the back door, table and chair was right there, right? In the kitchen. You're coming through the kitchen, right? Listen, we had left the house and they had left some money on the kitchen table. The doors were open. Nobody locked the doors back down. I was growing up. There was a note on the table left beside some money, and the note said, I left this note beside the money because I know you would see it. And then he finished the note out. Consider. When you steal for somebody, you're not considering them. You gossip, you're not considering them. When you lie, you're not considering them. Right? Nothing, he says. Nothing. All Christ came with was the truth and a rescue for each and every one of us. He didn't use his rights or his position. Everybody got rights. You infringing on my rights. I got to have my... What? But he's saying, you have to be in a position to give up your rights, right? Give up your personal advantage. You have to be in a position to not be selfish. Here's what the difference is, and whether we're going to do what God calls us to do or not. The difference is giving or grasping. Which one you're doing? What are you doing? Because I'm a grasp as much as I can for me. And if they got something left, I might let you pick that up. Right? And that's the mindset we have. But what Paul is saying right here, we have to give all that we have. Because Christ gave all that he had, all that he was, and all that he is for us. Didn't have to do it. Talk about glory. Man. Talk about being exalted as a result of that. That's what verses 9 through 11 tells us about, right? It describes the exaltation of Christ Jesus after he sacrificed himself for you and I, even with the most cruelest death that was possible. He didn't have to go through. He could have said, look, just give me a little rat poison. Right? He didn't have to be beaten, spat upon. Am I right? Yeah, he didn't have to be stuck in the side with a sword or hang up on the cross for us. He chose the most cruelest death that was known to man at that time so that we can see that that cross spelled nothing but love. What did the thief on the cross say to him? If you are who you say you are, what do you want him to do? Be a little selfish and come on down from there. A little vain conceit. You come on, G. You know you come on, G. Come down. Take me down too. Right? He did that. And because he did that, he humbled himself and he was exalted by God. And what Paul is saying right now is when we humble ourselves and do the things that God calls us to do, we don't need any selfish ambition or conceit or vainglory because God will exalt us. So what are you looking for? If you're looking to be exalted, then let's be unified and have the same mind, the same thinking, the same love, and advance that gospel of Jesus Christ with the way that we live, with the way we speak, right? But you know what the problem is? Everybody wants their reward right now. And some people are getting it. They're getting it right now. They won't have it in the end.
And only now.
That's it. That's it. Like we're saying, Ramsey, right now. I'm getting it right now. Yeah. And some of them don't realize they're getting it right now. They want the glory. They want the fame. They want everybody to look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And listen, just because you have to sacrifice that, it doesn't mean that your sacrifice has to be painful or even begrudging. It says, for the joy that was set out before him in Hebrews 12 and verse number 2. For the joy that was set out before Jesus Christ, he endured the cross. He disregarded the shame, and he's taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. What can we disregard? Can we disregard the fact that that glory is not ours? Can we disregard the fact that if we're going to sacrifice, we might have to suffer? Can we disregard the fact that if we do those things that God has called us to do, that we will be exalted? That's what it's about. Exaltation. But we exalt ourselves. And we allow men to exalt us as well. And some, in the name of God. And what a shame it is. What a shame that is. So let's go back to where we started at. We start out with that word, what? I need you to remember nothing. Right? I got to looking at it and I said to myself, wow. I said, God wants us to do nothing? And he does. But he asks us to do something as well, right? To have the same mind, same love, same humility. Be in unity with one another so that we can further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Paul says our lives are an open book written before men that they might see. So what's written on your open book? Does the line start out with humility? Does it start out with self-ambition, conceit? What does it start out with? Does it start out with that idol that we just can't get rid of ourselves? We got to be able to put ourselves aside. If we're going to be exalted by Christ, this has got to be the bottom line. He said in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 17, and if children, then we are heirs. Romans 8:17. And we heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Now look what he says after that comma in verse number 17. Provided we suffer with him, in order that we might also be glorified with him. See that? We're not suffering by ourselves. We're not sacrificing by ourselves, loving by ourselves. We're doing it with Christ so that we may also be glorified with him. You're going to get your glory, right? But it's with him. James 4:10. We're almost finished. Appreciate y'all. James chapter 4 and verse number 10. This is a trustworthy saying. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. Here we go. If, right? If we endure, we will also reign with him. Who wants to do that? Who wants to reign with Christ?
That was James 4:10.
I'm sorry. James 4:10, that's 2 Timothy. James 4:10 is humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. That was my next one. A little dyslexia, thank you. So yeah, humble yourself, James 4:10, in the sight of the Lord, not in the sight of men, right? And allow God to. Yeah. Thank you for that, sis. Because he says in Luke 18, I got this one right. He says in Luke 18, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be. Right. Boy, glory is something that a lot of people want, don't it? Isn't it? And they can get it. They can get it. But the joy set before Christ was for our salvation. The joy that was set before Christ that was for our relationship with God and with each other. It was to have the same mind, same love, and the same thinking as we go forward living our lives in the gospel of Christ. And we are worthy. We are worthy of those things only in Christ Jesus. We're not worthy of what Jesus did for us. We're worthy of those things in Christ Jesus. And we are serving God, and we bring him glory in the sacrifice that we extend each and every day of our lives as we push off the idol of self. And the word is nothing. Does anybody have something they want to say before we shut this down? Nothing. Very good. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time that you've given us that we might look into your word. As that our hearts and minds may have been open, Father, to receive this word, and that your Holy Spirit has guided us into the truth of these things, that we might accept them and learn them, and we might grow thereby, and teach others, Father, about your gospel, the way we live, the way we think, the way that we love. And certainly, Father, we ask that we might indeed, Father, be a people for you that have the mind of Jesus Christ and give up all those things that we seek in our lives that are material things, things that have no worth and are temporary, and seek the eternity that only comes through the salvation of your darling son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this day. We thank you for every open heart that was here. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.